Chloe pushed her door open and jumped down. The two protesting cabbies had become four. They stepped back to let Chloe out, then moved to lean into the passenger side to talk at Jules. Close the door, Chloe. Jules fixed her eyes straight ahead, on nothing. Chloe slammed the door, much too hard, but not before Jules heard her say, Don't bother, she's a racist bitch. Love you too, dear, Jules said. But the sealed car swallowed her words. She waited for Chloe to reach the back, then popped the hatch open for her. One of the men brought a luggage cart over when he saw the size of Chloe's duffel bag and helped her lift it on. Try not to miss me too much, Chloe called up through the car's interior. I'm only gone for a year. She would have slammed the trunk closed, too, and Jules felt a dark satisfaction at her daughter's frustration as hydraulics eased it shut. Jules gave the cab drivers a courtesy wave as she pulled away from the curb. She caught a last glimpse of Chloe in her buzz cut and motorcycle jacket, gesturing rudely at her in the rearview mirror. Driving down the 427, she felt totally uncalled for tears sting her eyes. She never cried. Hated criers. What the fuck? Not getting along with Chloe was not new. But she felt worse about it than usual. An accusation that she was a terrible parent sang nastily in her brain, and she didn't even know whose voice it was. She'd hoped to establish a truce before Chloe left. Had meant to slip her a couple $100 when she dropped her off. But like so many of her better intentions, she'd lost her grip on it, and now it was too late. The drive to the airport, too, had been a peace offering. Well, so much for that. It had all started with the phone call. Jules, ear deep in a glitchy algorithm, had only answered because it was after hours, hitting the speakerphone button without taking her eyes off her monitor. Jules, right. Hi, Mom. What's wrong? The call at work was as rare as it was unwelcome.
Nothing's wrong, exactly.
Can I call you later?
This is later. I called you last week, remember?
Jules scanned through lines of code for anything problematic. A misplaced ampersand or asterisk could wreak havoc. Don't whine, Chloe. I can't stand it. The line hissed. Creating the database was the easy part, but to provide the client with live analytics, it had to work fluidly with the algorithm she'd written. The whole thing was hours late going online. She'd had to wrench it away from a junior associate who'd been streamlining it towards disaster. She shouldn't have passed it off to him in the first place, but lately her workload had swelled malignantly. Still, the price was hers to pay.
I'm in the middle of something, so I've withdrawn from school, Chloe said.
And she started to say something else, to explain or elaborate or make some kind of excuse, but Jules wasn't listening. She was imploding.
What are you gonna do, Chloe? Work retail?
Something non-linguistic tore out of her throat. Her hand shot out, picked up the receiver, and slammed it down again. She knew what Chloe wanted. Chloe wanted to travel. Even through the oxy, Jules felt fresh frustration. She banged on the steering wheel, her arms dragging a half second behind her impulse. She hit the horn accidentally, swerved slightly, and earned a scowl from the young man in the next lane. She gave him the finger and sped up to get in front of him. The day after Chloe's phone call, after spending an hour longer than normal in standstill traffic on her Toronto-Hamilton commute, Jules arrived home to find her front door open wide. Already aggravated, she had the brief thought that she'd been robbed and felt the grim vindication of catastrophic expectations fulfilled. Then she heard the racket coming from inside. Not robbed, invaded. Angry female voices yelled to distorted guitars from portable speakers on the mantel, a sticker-covered cell phone lying next to them. Also on the mantel, crowding out the single photograph of Chloe in her grad robes. Here, Mom, so you don't forget me. As though she might.